Dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and truth are yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text which will serve as the basis for the sermon this evening is taken from the gospel lesson of John as well, chapter 17, and I'll read it again for y'all. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, these are your words, and we ask that you would sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So this summer I had the opportunity to go on a summer vicarage. I went out to Central Oregon. And if you've never been out there, it's a gorgeous part of the country. And one of my favorite things about being out there was seeing all the mountains everywhere. If you've never seen a mountain, they're just gorgeous. It's amazing what God has created in this world. Our text for today, it's referencing two mountains as well. While it doesn't say it explicitly, it's talking about the two mountains of Revelation. The mountain of Sinai, where the law was revealed to Moses, and the mountain of Calvary, where the gospel was revealed to us. After the Israelites were brought out of captivity from the land of Egypt, the Lord led them through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. This was a truly amazing sight for the Israelites, and they were brought to the base of the mountain of Sinai. Once they got there, a cloud covered the mountain, thunder and lightning were all around. The trumpets of heaven were sounding, telling the Israelites to stay away, and the only person to go up was Moses. While Moses was on the mountain, the Lord gave him two tablets of the law. Of course, when he got down from the mountain, he was mad at what he saw. The Israelites had immediately fallen into idol worship, and so he broke the tablets. Shortly after, when he went back up, God gave him two more tablets with the same commandments. And these commandments are written down for us, and we know them today. This is the law that was revealed to us through Moses. Now, Moses in our text here is shown as merely just a messenger of God's law. The law didn't originate from Moses. He didn't come up with it by himself. God himself gave it to Moses. And in these Ten Commandments, we have everything which we ought to do to live in this life, to live God-pleasing lives. This revelation of God to Moses, this law, was only a partial revelation, but it shows us something about God and about ourselves. So to understand this, we must know what the purpose of the law is. Now, I'm sure that as you're going through your Christianity classes here, or as you went through confirmation classes, you heard that there's a threefold purpose of the law. It serves as a curb, a mirror, and a guide. The law is a curb in this world to keep us from total anarchy. Just as there are curbs on the roads to keep you from driving off onto the sidewalks and hitting every pedestrian that you see, so too, the law keeps us on the road. The law also serves as a mirror to show you what you look like, to show you what you have done. The law reveals to us what God would have us do, and it also reveals to us how good we are at following that. When we study the commandments, there is no doubt that each and every one of us have failed to keep them. When we look at what God's demands are for us, to be perfect and to be holy, there is no doubt that we have all failed. You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is not a single person in this world who does good. We are all born dead in our trespasses and sins. This is what the mirror shows to us. And the third use of the law as our guide shows us how we ought to live in our sanctified lives. Apart from faith, we cannot follow any part of the third use of the law. Our works are only sin. But this law shows us something else as well. The law shows us the nature of God. He is just, and he does not tolerate sin. As a just God, he gives to each and every one of you, he gives to me the wages of our works. And we hear in Scripture that the wages of every single one of us is only sin. And what do we get paid for sin? Death. And it's not just a temporal death. It is an eternal death. From our birth, all of our works are sinful. We cannot do good works apart from faith. The Lord is just in his judgments and in his payment. And if we did not have faith, he could send us all to hell, rightfully so. But this law of God is not the full revelation of God. While it is true that he is just, his law does not change for the morals of this world. He does not change. We have a more complete revelation given to us. Moses was just a messenger for God's law. But we have the fullness of this revelation of God given to us through Jesus Christ. The law that was revealed on Mount Sinai pointed forward to a completely different mountain. While Mount Sinai is an amazing mountain and it is symbolic of the law, the only thing it does is point forward to Calvary, the much higher mountain and the much more beautiful mountain. The Old Testament gave us glimpses of this gospel message that would come to us. While on Mount Sinai, the Lord came before Moses and said, "The Lord God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving the iniquity and transgression and sin of his people." Throughout the Old Testament, there's a lot of places where you can find the gospel message preached. Even from the fall into sin, right away, as soon as we have fallen, God gives his promise that he will send a Savior for us. Every message of gospel that is proclaimed in the Old Testament points forward to Jesus Christ on the cross. We had a partial revelation of the Lord and of his nature through Moses and through Mount Sinai, but we have a full revelation given to us. We have the fullness of grace and truth revealed to us on Calvary. Now, if you've never read the Gospel of John, I highly recommend it. Lovely gospel. There's a lot of really good stuff in there. But John emphasizes this message that Christ came into this world for you. He is true God and true man. And there is no amount of darkness in this world that can overcome him. And he came to conquer sin and death for you. John writes, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, I haven't been to Israel myself, but I know that the mountain of Calvary is a pretty small hill, all things considered. It's not very tall in elevation at all. But Calvary is much, much larger than Sinai, much larger than the Three Sisters in Central Oregon, much larger than Mount Rainier in Washington, much larger than Mount Kilimanjaro, much larger than Mount Everest. It is the highest mountain of all in importance, because it is there that the gospel message and the full revelation of God have been brought to you. It is there that we look to this scene of Christ's death on the cross as he's up there for each and every one of you. And we don't look at it with fear of condemnation for the sins that we have committed in this life. Instead, we can look at it out of thankfulness for the love that God is showing to us. Christ up there is not just a law message for you to see what your sins have brought about. He is up there to show you the love of God, that he would send his only Son to die for your sins. Jesus is our greater Moses. Calvary is our most amazing mountain. And the Old Testament gospel prophecies have their fulfillment in Christ's incarnation, his perfect life, and his death, and his resurrection. And we hear in Scripture these wonderful gospel proclamations to each and every one of us so that we have the assurance that we don't have to worry about the wages of sin. We don't have to worry about condemnation at all. The Apostle Paul writes that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin. For God has done what the law, weakened by flesh, could not do. Christ fulfilled the law in your place. The law and its ordinances and its demands of you have passed away. They were here to show you to Christ. Its rights and its ordinances are no longer a demand upon you. You have been set free by this gospel message. The gospel gives us something the law cannot give. It gives us freedom. It gives us life. It gives us hope and the promise of the resurrection. The gospel saves and it justifies the ungodly. And it makes us alive again through word and sacrament. While we were once dead in our trespasses and sin, the Holy Spirit has come into our lives through word and sacrament to make us alive again and to live lives according to God's will. It's a wonderful thing that we get to grow in our sanctification. We get to grow in our lives of godliness through faith. Ephesians tells us that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that he has prepared for us beforehand. For the law came through Moses, but fullness of grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we have this fullness, we have this grace and this truth and this peace with God through faith. The forgiveness of sins which Christ won on the cross, it's not just some abstract thing that we hear about in the Bible. It's not just something we hear about in our classes or in confirmation class. It is yours through faith. You can be assured that your sins indeed are forgiven. These two words of God, law and gospel, are revealed to us on the mountains of Revelation, Mount Sinai and Mount Calvary. So, my dear friends, if you thought at the beginning of this sermon that you've never seen any mountains before, I'm sorry to inform you, you actually have. But I'm not sorry to tell you that this is the most beautiful mountain in the entire world, this mountain of love called Calvary. There is no greater beauty than this, that God loves each and every one of you, and that he has forgiven you of all your sins, and that eternal life is yours freely through faith. Amen.